I'm Dorothy Wickenden. On today's Politics and More podcast, The New Yorker's David Hagelin talks with Zachary Drucker and Reese Ernst, co-producers of the Amazon TV series Transparent. Their work focuses on shaping the show's portrayal of trans culture and the trans experience.
I'm David Hagelin. About a month ago, Lily Wachowski, the co-director of The Matrix and several other movies, joined her sister Lana in coming out as transgender. She didn't want to come out just yet, not to the whole world, but a journalist from the Daily Mail had forced her hand, according to an open letter she wrote to the Windy City Times. In the letter, she explained what being transgender meant to her. To be transgender is something largely understood as existing within the dogmatic terminus of male or female, she wrote. And to transition imparts a sense of immediacy, a before and after from one terminus to another. But the reality, my reality, is that I've been transitioning and will continue to transition all of my life through the infinite that exists between male and female, as it does in the infinite between the binary of zero and one. We need to elevate the dialogue beyond the simplicity of binary. Binary is a false idol.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, the binary is completely dissolving. And I think that it's like we all have our own gender uniquely. And that's not just trans people. That's everybody.
That's Zachary Drucker and Reese Ernst. They're both co-producers on the Amazon series Transparent. Transparent is, I think, one of the best shows to come along in the last couple of years. It tells the story of Maura Pfefferman, who comes out as transgender to her kids at the age of 70.
Are you saying that you're going to start dressing up like a lady all the time?
Honey, all my life, I've been dressing up like a man. This is me.
The show's director, Jill Soloway, created Transparent after her father came out as a transgender woman. Early on, she sought out Zachary and Reese for help in telling a story about a trans character because she wanted to get that story right.
I met Jill Soloway at Sundance in 2012 when I had a short film that played at the festival. She was just beginning her kind of foray into directing herself, having come from a writing and producing background in television. As a woman in TV, she was not given the opportunity to direct for many, many, many years, which is a very common story, as we all know. And we met kind of at that early kind of cusp of her coming into directing, and which was also around the time that her parent came out. I remember talking to you, Zachary, about, this person's parent is trans, and we sent some links to some trans-related films, and we were just kind of sharing information and keeping in touch with Jill about this and that.
It was remarkable because I think that she was specifically looking to gain a knowledge base around trans issues and to become politicized, and that happened very quickly.
You know, when Jill brought us in to talk about collaborating on Transparent, I think that really what was underneath it was that she had the foresight to bring in trans people as early as possible into the process. So when she asked us to come in, the word she used was to talk about collaborating. And this was when the pilot was just a script. She was like, what do you think about Jeffrey Tambor for the lead? And we were like, wow. And so we were having this conversation, but nobody had been cast. Nothing had been really put together or really committed
to. There was no network.
Yeah. She was like, what about Amazon? We were like, what? That the bookseller?
So what exactly is your involvement on the show at this point? What do you do?
So our involvement starts each season with the writing. And, you know, as soon as there's outlines, as soon as there's any kind of version of a draft, we read everything and every single draft and give a lot of notes from the very start. And then when production starts, or just actually pre-production, we start also by hiring trans crew, trans and gender nonconforming crew for all the various departments. And we also deal with a lot of casting of queer and trans roles. But yeah, when we're in production, every time there's any kind of scene that has anything to do with queer, trans, anything, we're definitely there. And then that participation goes through post-production to the rough cuts and giving notes on everything and all the way to release and then press. But it's very much, I see it as shepherding the politics of representation whilst also doing, you know, specific kind of producerial kind of hard tasks. But it's just being a part of the creative team. And our offices are just one door down from the writer's room. So we're in and out of there quite a lot, and we're in dialogue with the writers and all the guest directors and Jill and the other producers on a daily basis.
Is there a specific note you remember giving to kind of give us a sense of what that process is like and how it works?
I can think of a couple examples. One of them is inappropriate for the radio because it has a dirty word in it, which was actually the crux of the change.
You can, that's,
well, there's, yeah.
Dirty words are okay.
Of, like, can, without spoiling anything from season three.
I can think of season two, though. There's actually one
there's
example.
There's, like, entire plot points that are things that we've kind of
well, yeah, I mean, actually,
through to the beginning.
I remember both of us being really involved in the Women's Festival scenes.
Totally.
I mean, I think whenever there's, like, a storyline we want to protect or really look at or really push forward, we'll take that on. I'm referring to the Women's Fest storyline where Maura goes with her daughters to a Women's Fest and learns that there's a no trans women policy or a women born women only policy. And the complex thing about depicting that storyline was that you really kind of want to honor both sides of the argument. Because on one side, there's this turf argument that trans women shouldn't be included at a women's festival, which I don't agree with personally. But, you know, the thing about an all-women's festival like that is that there's a real necessity and a sort of joy and a sort of protected space that that type of festival does indicate. Like, women who go to festivals like that say it's the only time they feel safe their whole year and they save up all year, and it's really meaningful for people who go to these kinds of places. On the other hand, trans women have been disincluded and repressed and pushed out of these places, sometimes almost violently.
Well, violently.
Yeah, we can say violently.
In many cases.
But so anyway, that was a scene and a storyline that we both really worked hard to kind of push and pull and eke out both sides of that argument.
Yeah, well, here's to us extremists.
Here's to the last remaining extremists.
Yeah. Just don't be starting any Sandy, because Ellie and Maura had no idea about the festival policy.
Hey, Leslie, what is the festival policy?
You know, it's very simple. Women born women.
I don't mean to be rude, but what does that mean? I mean, when you say women born women.
It means people who are born with a vagina and a uterus.
First of all, does that mean if you have a hysterectomy, you're not a woman?
Bingo, here we go with the hysterectomies.
Come on, she brought up uteruses. I'm just saying having a uterus doesn't grant you entry into this place.
Look, I drove the plow, I cleared these woods, and we did it with one thing in mind, that we women could have one goddamn safe space in the world.
No one's trying to take your woods away from you. I just feel that I have a right to be here, too, as a transgender woman.
I think that this is more about, like, the nudity and the showers.
This is about nudity?
A lot of people here are triggered by penises.
Why?
Penises are triggering to many
Why?
Women. Because we've all been raped.
Everybody?
Well, no.
I was raped.
I didn't rape you.
It's true. She stopped raping long ago.
See, this is where it gets really weird. Because, you know, suddenly the conversation is all around you. And all of us are trying to make you comfortable.
You're trying to make me comfortable?
Yeah. We're
right now you're trying to make me comfortable?
I'm trying to explain it to you.
I don't give a about your goddamn penis. It's about the privilege.
What privilege are you talking about? I was in way too much pain to experience what you're calling privilege.
Your pain and your privilege are separate.
So you've been referred to as trans consultants. Is that a term you would embrace, or do you bristle at it?
I slightly bristle. I mean, when a project comes up that is interesting and worthy of that, and there's a good partnership that can be made, I'm happy to jump in and do that. But you know, my background is as a filmmaker and an artist, and I have a master's degree in filmmaking, and I've directed and produced a whole bunch of stuff, and I feel like I'm looking forward to being more known for that. But at the same time, the kind of trans consulting style work has actually opened up a lot of doors, and I think it's creating a really important dialogue with the film and TV industry that wasn't really happening so much until recent years. So I definitely see the utility of it, but I don't know if this is too extreme, but I kind of hope that in the future trans consultants will seem as silly as a title as black consultants or woman consultants on a film, and that instead of having a a black consultant on your black issue film, that you actually have black filmmakers behind it, you know? And I think that's kind of the goal.
Ultimately, Reese and I are about professional development, creating inroads for trans folks into an industry that has really kind of kept us out.
It's so cool and so kind of heartwarming and incredible to see all these kind of grip guys and these
transportation,
you know, the transpo teamsters and all these kind
huge trans advocates in the transportation team. The guys who drive the trucks are like more game to talk about trans issues than anyone.
It's just amazing though to see how it can affect someone's worldview and really affect someone's life if they really consider and open up their like minds and hearts to like what a trans experience is.
Pretty much anybody who comes onto our production chain goes through a trans 101 session.
Right. So when you two first started working together, you were in a relationship, a romantic relationship, but that's no longer the case. Did you ever think you were going to stop working together creatively, or was that never a question?
Yeah, when we decided to split up and end our romantic relationship, we were working together on season one of Transparent and, in fact, sharing an office. So we had to kind of deal with it for the sake of the work we were in the middle of doing, you know, try to be egoless and get over it and work together. Since then, it's been a couple of years, you know. But, yeah, it's been a really good, humbling, challenging, rewarding experience.
Yeah, I think, well, it's honestly something that I think a lot of dissolved couples don't have the opportunity to do, but like the problems don't go away, but you're able to communicate through them in a way that you would never be able to do with a regular coworker. Mm-hmm. Like the kind of shorthand language that you have with a partner, the way that you can just like read micro expressions on their face and kind of like, you know, I think that Reese and I communicate really quickly and effectively. But you know, it's interesting too that people now, who don't necessarily know that we were a couple, like somebody on the crew the other day thought you were my brother.
Oh, really?
And I was like, no, he's not my brother.
That's hilarious.
But there's definitely like a sort of closeness and an in-syncness that I think other people can sense and pick up on.
That was Zachary Drucker and Reese Ernst talking with David Hagland.